Blog Talk Radio.
Romans 2 and 5, the righteous judgment of the Most High, who will render unto every man according to his deeds, to them who by patience continue in some well-doing seek for glory and honor and immorality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath.
Oh, Frank
Lucas. You an African-American?
Nope.
You believe that's your heritage?
Yep.
Do you know who you are?
Nope.
King, queen?
Yep.
Nigga with back?
Nope.
Do you shine like a star?
Yep.
Think they gon' tell us?
Nope.
We gon' expose them?
Yep.
Yeah.
They gon' take your life?
Nope.
So many secrets in the vault?
Yep.
Do this knowledge cost?
Nope.
Hop in the book to my?
Yep.
Do we follow these laws?
Nope.
Do they still exist?
Yep.
Have time to wait?
Nope.
Do we have grace?
Yep.
Continue in sin?
Nope.
I'ma ask you again.
Yep.
Should we continue in sin? Christ is the way.
Yep.
Devil gon' win.
Nope.
Tryna make it to heaven.
Yep.
Get there by sinning.
Nope.
Follow the commandments.
Yep.
Everybody got choices. I chose this walk, so why keep on trotting? Everybody got choices. Choose the right path and nothing can stop us. Everybody got choices. Righteous life, devil don't like that, nah. Everybody got choices. Choose the right path to save your soul. Never going back.
No.
Forward to the kingdom.
Yep.
Alright, you're gonna learn today.
All right. Shalom. Welcome once again to another episode of Bible Talk. My name is Mashaba, and I'd like to welcome you all to our broadcast, to our show today. Today is Wednesday. Your calendar's not wrong. Your hearing's not wrong. Your ears are not messing up on you. Today is Wednesday, and yes, it would normally be, as we started our new schedule, It would normally be Nagaya Wednesdays, Nagaya's Insight. Nagaya's Insight, Insightful Wednesdays, but he was caught, you know, he got to work. We're on the plantation. We're still in slavery. We're still in captivity. So I'm having a feeling again for him today. So please bear with me and hopefully endure. And hopefully, you know, get some edification, get some information about the Most High, another perspective that you might be able to add to your journey with the Most High and your relationship with the Most High, just to help add to it, right? Help add to it so that, again, we're all trying to get up out of here. We're all, everybody prays the Lord's Prayer, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. That we want to get to that point where God's kingdom will be on this earth. All right. And as he says in Revelation, there'll be no more tears, no more sorrow, no more death. Brothers, that's the place we want to get to. We want to get to that place where we can finally rest in the same place that the Most High rests. In a righteous earth, all right, that it's not people doing their own will, but everybody will be doing the will of God, the will of the Father. And that's why we're striving so hard and we're sacrificing and doing the things that we're doing, trying to hurry up and get to that day, trying to do our part. That we know the steps that it takes to get to heaven, all right, in order for heaven to be here on earth like it is in heaven, and what we're trying to get to. And that part of that, brothers and sisters, is we've got to get the 144,000 awoken. I'm not even trying to say I'm one of them. But we know that Christ is not coming back until, when we read Revelation chapter 7, until the 144,000 men get this book, believe this book, trust the book, and are sealed, all right? That they've got to be sealed. And according to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, they hear the word, they trust the word, and they believe the word. And the only way that can be understood is through the sufferings, the trials, the afflictions, the tribulations that they're going to be faced with. Are they going to deny Christ in order to save themselves? Or are they going to understand this is the journey? And that, like it says in Revelation chapter 14, verses 1 through 4, that these 144,000 are going to follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. That they're not defiled with women. They're not going to follow the whore who sat on the scarlet-covered beast as far as this last society that's going to be on the planet Earth. And they're not going to follow anything but the Most High. They're not going to follow, like Adam did, following their wives to destruction, following their wives and what their wives presented as wisdom, what their wives presented as what looked good to them, so that now they follow that path instead of continuing to follow the Most High. That 144,000 is going to follow the Lamb whithersoever he goes. All right? And that if once they get awoken, then we know from Revelation chapter 11 that once that's done and they're sealed, that the destruction comes, that's going to be released from the four corners of the earth, the wind that's going to be released, which represents destruction, from the four corners of the earth, and that there's going to be destruction of Babylon the Great at the same time. And during that time when Babylon the Great is being destroyed, after the 144,000 are sealed, that's also going to be the time of salvation. All right? That's also going to be the time of salvation. And that's what we're praying for, and that's what everybody should be working hard to try and get to, that you're doing your part in this ministry, that we might get that 144,000 awakened. And that's all that matters, because once they're awakened, and it's not going to just be the 144,000 that's going to be saved. We know that one-third of Israelites are going to be saved from this destruction. One-third of an infinite amount of people is going to be saved. But that don't happen. Christ don't come back until we do our part, and that 144,000 are awakened. And that's why it's important that we learn these scriptures, and we learn about endurance. We learn about temperance. We learn about patience. We learn about meekness. We learn about esteeming others better than ourselves, and following Christ, and repenting, and getting things right, that we're fighting for, and there's supposed to be a bigger picture, a bigger goal, that the nation of Israel, the world, if we really look at the big picture, that as trees in nature are suffering, because the wicked are in rulership. According to Proverbs chapter 12, verse 29, that when the wicked, let me get that real quick, because I just quoted it, it just came to my mind. Proverbs, let me pull it up here on my computer. Proverbs. Chapter 12. And I believe it was verse 29. It's been a long time. There's not even 29 verse. Let me just look it up. I need that scripture right now. Wicked are you rule. Proverbs chapter 29 verse 2. Brother says, Proverbs chapter 29 verse 2, it says, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. So as long as the wicked are still bearing rule, and we know that from Psalm 17 verse 4, that the wicked are those who God is not at all in their thoughts. All right, that the way God does things, the way God wants things done, doesn't come to a person's mind. That a person, and that's what makes a person wicked, according to the scriptures. That why would they eat pork? Because then I think about how God does things. Why are they going to celebrating Easter, Christmas, birthdays, anniversaries? Because God's not in their mind. The way God does things, His judgment is not in their mind. It's not at all on their thoughts. Why would a person smoke weed? Because God is not at all in their thoughts. Why do people do the things they do? Again, because the way of God is not in their thoughts. And that's what makes a person wicked, according to Psalm 17, verse 4. All right? So when we have wicked in authority, that they're ruling, like as we see Donald Trump about to become, you know, even the whole government is wicked, whether it's Joe Biden, Donald Trump, or Barack Obama, Bill Clinton, that the whole government is corrupt, even though they say in God we trust, even though they swear the presence in on the Bible, even though on the money is printed in God we trust, but yet they don't judge anybody or run the society or run this world by the laws of God. If they did, just like in America, when they had lynchings and white people would gather around and have their kids at a lynching, at an execution, have their wives there, they would make postcards and give souvenirs of from the dead cadaver of the slave that was just killed, the black man that was killed, the black woman that was killed, the babies that were killed, and they would make it a picnic. They would make it a barbecue, and that's where the word picnic comes from, that everybody would come to witness this lynching, this killing, this execution of our people. Well, if this was a righteous society, in the same way they invited people to the lynchings of our people, they invited people to the lynchings of this the letter people, of this letter people movement, that according to God's law, that is an abomination. And according to the way of God and God's judgment, that should be met with death. So if this place was really about God's law, there wouldn't be this push for the letter people. There would be this push for any of the things that's going on in this society, as we're going to touch into today. So as long as the wicked are bearing rule, it says the people are going to mourn. The earth is going to mourn. That all the foundations of the earth are out of course. That everything is going wrong. So until the righteous are in authority, and the righteous means those who are going by God, not by your opinion, and you can vote for the person you want to be in charge because they kind of go along with your opinion. They kind of go along with how you see things and how you feel things should be. So you're going to vote them into office and then the majority vote? No, hell no. The righteous are going to be in authority. That's what God's kingdom is going to be about. That's what Christ's kingdom is going to be about. Doing things the right way according to God. All right? Not according to man, society, or whoever, but doing things right according to God. So we're praying and hopefully we're striving and working hard to get to that day. But that day is not going to come, brothers and sisters. It's not about you as an individual and you getting your kingdom and you getting what you want and the desires of your heart. It's about waking up the 144,000, so eventually the whole world is going to be at peace. And the whole world will rest. All right? That's what we're fighting for. But there's steps that got to be taken. There's steps that have got to be taken. And one of the first of those steps is the ministry that is being used to awaken. Matter of fact, let me get that scripture real quick. And I use that phrase again. Forgive me. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Let me pull the scripture up just to verify. Yes. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 21. If you want to join me there. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 21. The book of 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 21. It says, "For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God." We're going to kind of touch on this a little bit today, brothers and sisters. "That for after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God." As much as this world tries to increase in what they call wisdom, and as we really kind of examine what the world calls wisdom, each person will, and when I say the world, meaning as an individual in this society, in these societies that we're in, wisdom is what's more convenient for you. A person will say that that's wise because it's convenient for them. Again, they'll put people in leadership that agree with their way of thinking, their opinions, how they see things should go, based on what's convenient for them, but not what's going to be good for the whole world. Not what's going to be good for everybody, but what's going to benefit the individuals, right? And capitalism, which is what this world runs off of. Capitalize for you. Be about you. Do the best for you. Come up for you. As opposed to the world commandments. Y'all remember, love the Most High with all your heart and all your soul, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. Those principles and core values have been abandoned. All right? So now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21, again, it says, "For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God." So as much as the world increases its wisdom of how things should be done, what they feel is proper, what they think is correct, right, or what have you, there is a forgetfulness of God and of God's wisdom. Reading on now, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21. It says, "It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." And I love that. I mean, the foolishness of preaching. Because you hear so many people like, how is teaching this Bible going to help? How is teaching going to help? Then the Bible say, don't just tell somebody to be warmed and filled unless you give them something. It's funny how people can have that mentality. Again, when it comes to their convenience, they'll think about something like that. But there's a forgiveness of even that worldly proverb of, if you teach a man to fish, if you feed a man a fish, you feed him for that hour. But you teach him to fish, and he'll eat at will, or however that saying goes. So to come back now and teach people how to please God, to show and teach people, this is what you got to do and the mentality you have to please God. Somehow for people, that's foolish. For the sorrow, the depressions, for the panic attacks, for the schizophrenia that we go through, for the loneliness, for the abandonment feeling issues that we have that we go through, we won't go through the source of, if we're pleasing God, we won't go through those things. That won't make sense, but to get medication, but to get prescription drugs or non-prescription drugs, that somehow makes sense. To now, as we're looking at and seeing, it's almost unavoidable, some of the truth, some of the light being shined on some of the happenings that happen with celebrities, as we're looking at the Puff Daddy situation, as we're looking at the, that's just what's in the news and on the focus right now. But it's funny how, you look on YouTube and you start seeing some of these videos. I watched a thing on Lola Falana. She started her professional career at the age of 14. Her parents had her dancing and get this, y'all. Lola Falana is Manessa. Her dad's Cuban. Her dad came from Cuba. Came from Cuba, came to America, to New York. That's where he met Lola Falana's mother. And they had six kids. She was the third of six kids. But Lola Falana started dancing professionally in nightclubs. Her parents were taking her to nightclubs at the age of 14. By the age of 16, she was in the first movie, if I remember the biography correctly. And at talk about a minor, she got with Sammy Davis Jr., who put her in her first movie as a minor. All this type of things is coming out. As we look at quote-unquote celebrities, that a lot of things that have are behind the scenes, if you will, that casting couch, this has been going on. This ain't just new with Puff Daddy. It's just really being revealed amongst our people. We've been known that white people, white, from slave masters, if you want to be in the big house, you want to be that house nigga, that house bitch, or whatever, you got to do those things to please master. We understand that master would give special treats, benefits, food to the one, as it was said among black people, to the sellouts. But now it's really being revealed just how much selling out and how much debauchery is taking place. I digress. That here in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21, it says, and let's not, before we start looking at black people and yeah, I do believe about black people. Remember, they're not bringing it up. Remember, Clive Davis, that white person, is the one who taught Puffy. Is the one who taught Andre Harrell. All right, let's not get this twisted. Before any black people was involved with sex, drugs, and rock and roll, white people, from the Who to the Eagles to Lynyrd Skynyrd to Bon Jovi to whoever, they were the original people of the sex, drugs, and rock and roll mentality. Elvis, let's go back there, dealing with Priscilla Presley, a minor. All right, who was that? Jerry Lee Lewis, dealing with minors. Woody Allen, dealing with minors. So let's not just look at black people like we're just the evil ones, and we're going to forget about what white people have been doing, the rape, robbery, and sexual assaults that white people have been committing against our black people, against brown people, and gotten away scot-free, felt not guilty. We're not going to forget that, but we again, in the news, is being magnified about what's going on with Puff and all that celebrity Jay-Z and the Bill Cosby, all that is coming out. But we got that from white people. Let's not abandon that. But coming back here to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 21, it says, "For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." All right? The only way we're going to be saved is by the foolishness of preaching, by getting God's word put out here. And as much as people that say, many people who really have been embedded in this world, society, and mentality, how is that going to put food on my table? How is that going to help? What's that going to do? When I'm going to live and be poor and not have a damn thing? To hell with that. But what does it say? What does the script say? By the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. If the preaching ain't going out, there ain't no saving. If the preaching's not going out, you can't find out who really believes. God can't try a person's reins to see if they really love him or not until the preaching gets out there, and then people choose their own way and reject God's way. And they try and disguise it like this is of God. No. Oh, no. Oh, no, 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 no. All right? So, again, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21, "For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them which believe." And if I got this correct, when we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, the very next chapter, chapter 2 and verse 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14. It says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. The person who is natural, is going by their own instincts, going by their own feelings, going by their own instincts. That's what's natural to a person, your instincts, your feelings, all right? And you keep feeding on your feelings and your instincts long enough, that becomes superstition. And then you're getting caught up into not only the superstitions, you're looking for omens, you're looking for signs, you're looking for this, you're looking for that. And you've long gotten away from God's word and how God does things. So you're waiting for a feeling. You're being natural. That's why a homosexual is dealing with what? Their feelings. And I use that just for an example. That's the only example of a natural man, somebody who is dealing with just how they feel. This applies to anybody that you operate. Your whole world is based on your feelings. It's got nothing to do. The only time you agree with the Bible is if the Bible agrees with your feelings. Oh, you're missing the mark. You're not getting it. We are missing it if that's how we're using this word. Yeah, we're looking for those scriptures that go with our feelings. And you know how we say, oh, that's the Spirit. Oh, that's the Spirit, quote unquote, because it goes along with your feelings. Oh, that's the voice of God. Hallelujah. Say it again, because it goes along with your feelings. But let it be something that goes against your feelings. Is that wisdom? Is that really of God? You know, especially when black people, you know, the devil's a lie. But all that's based on, is it going with your feelings? Not if it's actually God's opinion or God's view or God's judgment. It's this feeling, if it goes along with your what you're feeling at the time, that's God. That's why we can read a lot of scriptures to people. And you can read what the book says. We can read it in black and white, what the book says. And the next response from a person's mouth will be what? I got to go pray on it. What do you mean you got to go pray on it? You can read. Well, what did we just read? I got to go pray on it and see what my dreams tell me. I got to sleep on it. What are you talking about? Oh, you got to wait to see if your feelings go with it. Oh, you got to go ask somebody who's going to go with your feelings or not. Come on. 1 Corinthians 2:14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. For they are foolishness unto him. See, when you're into your natural instincts, superstitions, opinions, the ways of God are going to seem foolish to you. You do things the way God wants things done, and for it to be presented, now this actually will please God, to that person who's only operating and has been trained to operate off of their feelings, off of an instinct, off of superstition, the way of God is going to be foolish to them. To actually go by the preaching of God's word, that's going to be foolish. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. For the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. And you're not going to understand where God's coming from, because I don't even know how to explain this. A person who goes by their instincts, you can't explain the way of God to them. They just are not going to get it. That's why, you know, Paul said, after a person taking admonition, leave a person alone. They don't want to understand. They want it to fit into how they're feeling. They want it to fit into their world. And no matter how you try and answer them that this is what God says, that this is how God is looking at it, to them, they can't get it. It don't make sense. To them, it's going to continue to be foolish. And they're going to say things like, you never answer my question. That my question never gets answered. No, your question is answered. It's just not in a way that you want to hear it. It's not the way you want to accept that you have to change. So that person who's just going by their natural instincts, their natural feelings, how they grow up and how they feel, and superstition, to show them the ways of God, it's going to be foolish to them. And they're not going to know the way of God because you have to be spiritually discerned. And remember, Romans chapter 7, verse 21 tells you what it means to be in the spirit. God's law is spiritual. Spiritual discernment, spirituality is not based on how you feel. When the Bible talks about spirituality or being spiritual, it talks about following God's law. It's following God's judgments. It's following God's opinion and making your opinion his opinion, not finding a way to fit his opinion into your opinion. So now for you, it seems right because it's going along with how you feel. That's not being in the spirit. That's not it. All right? So with all that being said, brothers and sisters, funny, today's supposed to be the guy's day. It's not. You get long-winded, long explanation, person, me, Mashaba, Shalom. With that, today is Wednesday. For our schools in San Antonio, the Sword of Truth, San Antonio, they do have class every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 7:30 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. And then on Saturday, starting at 10 a.m., check them out. Check them out on their YouTube channel. If you can't actually make it to class, check out their YouTube channel, Sword of Truth San Antonio. Again, that's Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. Let me start out my speech. That's Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays from 7:30 p.m. to 10:30 p.m. And then again on Saturdays. All right? Subscribe, like, and share to the YouTube channel. For our school in the Houston, Texas area, the Stream of Wisdom. All right, the Stream of Wisdom, located at 231 FM Road 1092, Stafford, Texas, 77477. Under the guidance, the stewardship of Priest Kwatazak, doing an amazing job there in the Houston, Texas area. They have classes every Monday and Wednesday from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. So you can catch them tonight at 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. and then again on Fridays from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. And then on Saturdays from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Catch them live on YouTube tonight, as a matter of fact, starting at 7 p.m. Their YouTube channel, which is SOW Houston, Texas, Stream of Wisdom. All right, their YouTube channel. Tonight, starting at 10 p.m. to 9 p.m. Again, subscribe, like, and share to the YouTube channel as they have class going on tonight starting at 7. All right? For our class in Norfolk, our school in Norfolk, the SOW, Norfolk, Virginia, Stream of Wisdom, which is located at 2610 Granby Street, Norfolk, Virginia, 23517, meaning address there, under the stewardship of Priest Kazakia. All right? They have classes every Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m., and then again on Saturday, starting at 12 noon. You catch your Facebook Live every Tuesday and Thursday, starting at 8 p.m., from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Again, and that Facebook page is SOW Norfolk Virginia Stream of Wisdom. Right? Check them out live every Tuesday and Thursday from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can check out their YouTube page, SOW Stream of Wisdom, Norfolk, Virginia, every Friday from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and then Saturday starting at 12 noon, all right, the Sabbath ceremony that they have going on. You want to check them out, please. Again, subscribe, like, and share. For our school in Rochester, all right, for the school in Rochester, SOW Rochester, New York, Stream of Wisdom, which is located at 1600 Lyle Avenue, suite number 1A, Rochester, New York, 14606, being the address there, under the stewardship of Priest Zion, who's doing a great job up there. Good job, Art. They have classes every Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m., and also on Saturday starting at 10 a.m. Catch their YouTube channel every Tuesdays and Thursdays at SOW Rochester, New York, Stream of Wisdom YouTube channel. The other YouTube channels that are there for your education is the Hidden Truth Bible Show, the Israelite Media Corps, 5 Minutes of Wisdom, and Hidden Books. And remember, brothers and sisters, that Hidden Books, that's where they've actually, the brother Ariah, who has such that manly, deep, masculine voice, actually reading scriptures. He's done the Apocrypha, Psalms, they're actually reading scriptures to some music and some rain. They help you go to, like, if you need some ambiance in the background to help you study or help you go to sleep, check out Hidden Books. All right, they're doing that. Check it out. All right, do yourself that favor. Do yourself that favor. All right. Also, brothers and sisters, please check out Brother Ice White Design and Brother Mike Allen at the Fountain of Wisdom on YouTube. Please check out, check them out on the Fountain of Wisdom. I'm sorry, not YouTube, but on Facebook. The Fountain of Wisdom on Facebook every Friday, where they're going over the Book of Psalms and the Book of Proverbs. You're doing a great job with that. And then on Saturday mornings, they're also doing the Torah readings. All right, they're doing the Torah readings every Saturday starting at 10 a.m. Find the link at Fountain of Wisdom. They're doing a great job with that. If you're in the Albuquerque area, reach out to Brother Aisha White Design, area code 505-218-4218. The brother is an excellent counselor. I'm going to this brother for a lot of counsel. All right, so I'm trying to get my stuff together. And Brother Ice, as well as other brothers, Brother Ice is definitely helping me try to get my head together. All right? So please check in my air code 505-218-4218. All right, brothers and sisters. We also ask, we've been compiling the list of names for prayer. Please add these names to your prayer list as well in your private chamber when you send your prayers up. Please add some of these names or add all these names to your prayers as well. All right? So I'm going to offer up these names, but I'm going to throw it out as a prayer. But it's in hopes that you at home, in your car, your truck, where you might be listening to our show at, that you might get these names and that you might add these names to your prayer list as well. Because the scripture says, the prayer of the righteous avails much. And it says to esteem others better than yourself. And when you're going through something and you're not feeling any comfort, you're not feeling any love, you're feeling alone, you're feeling abandoned, you need some mercy, you feel like nobody cares, that the key, the ticket, the plug, the way out of that is to esteem others better than yourself. So that's another reason why I've been compiling this list, to be able to put others and try and think about others more than thinking about just what I'm going through, just thinking about my own. And trying to be aware of, Christ warned us in Matthew chapter 24, verses 12 and 13, that because iniquity shall abound, the love of many is going to wax cold. That he told it in these last days that people's love is going to wax cold. Wax means to grow, eventually grow colder and colder and colder because of the times we're living in, where people are going to get a lot more selfish. And the thought to think about others is going to be a lot more foolish. The thought of only thinking about what you're going through, only think about you, only provide for you, only think about what you're going through, that's going to be, that type of spirit is going to be growing in the earth as we get closer and closer to the last days, as we wake up, and we're waking up more than 144,000, that thought and the war that's going to be waged to make people be more selfish. Just even today, looking at from gas price from yesterday to today, they just jumped up 20 cents, right? Gas prices from yesterday to today just jumped up. Last night, as a matter of fact, to waking up this morning, gas prices just jumped up 20 cents. And it says they're probably going to jump up a total of 45 cents before Labor Day, all right? So we know inflation is getting ridiculous. It's going to get worse, so that people are going to be in the mentality of being a lot more selfish, being only thinking about self, only thinking about your own survival. But if we're going to do things the way Christ did things and get out of our own way, put others first. Put yourself on the back burner. Put yourself last. And then Christ will come back and look out for you. All right? Like it says in the Apocrypha. I don't want to go find it right now, but in paraphrasing, it says, give to the godly man, so shall thou find a reward. If not from him, then from the Most High. All right? It's not even to focus on the godly man as much as for what Christ says, for what the Bible says. Do what the Bible says. Esteem others better than yourself. Think about what others are going through more than you think about what you're going through. That's how Christ was able to get through the cross, the crucifixion, the torture of the cross, How was Christ able to go through and deal with all that pain that he had to submit to? He wasn't thinking about himself. He thought about others. He thought about how much the example he had to set for others. And that's what gave him the endurance and the strength to be able to endure the torture, the physical torture, the physical mutilations that he went through. He was thinking about others. And that's why he could say, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. All right? So with that in mind, please add these names to your prayer list as well as I go ahead and throw these out here. So I'm going to ask that the Most High, in the name of Christ, please listen to us now, right now. Please send your Holy Spirit of mercy and peace to watch over, to bless, to heal, to strengthen, to help, and to protect. Father, to build up. And Father, we ask also from your mercy that you might please forgive, continue to forgive. And Father, we ask, according to the book of Numbers, chapter 6, that you might bless, and Father, that you might keep. Father, we ask that you might make your face to shine upon, and Father, that you might be gracious. Father, we ask that you lift up your countenance, and Father, that you give peace to our brother, Brother Kobe Fassett, Lapa, out in California, to our sister Yapaya and her sister Arlene, to the sister Tina Gomez, to our brother Abiyah up in Omaha, to the brother of Warner Iyer and his wife Ayana, and to her brother Chad and their nephew Cammy. Father, continue prayers going up for the sister Naya, who is the wife of our brother Yawab, and their two infant children, Shiloh and Salah. Father, we ask for the sister Bobby Dixon. Father, we ask for Sierra Leek, the daughter of our brother David. Continue prayers, Father, for our brother Tahawan Makah, who we call Abba, and for the sister Waradaya, who we call Amma, and for their son Kazak, who's been locked up for a while, Father. Please be with them and remind them and comfort them, Father. Father, for our friends up in Albuquerque, for Becky, for Daryl, and for Carmen up there in Albuquerque. Father, sing your prayers for the entire Lovett family, for Melvin, for Aunt Sally, for Ernestine Morris, for Charlie Westbrook, for Edna Jackson, and for Yasariah. Father, for the entire Coates family, Father, we lift them up in prayer. And for a friend of our brother Kibarkawa, Gina Robinson. Father, for our brother Thawan Mayum out there in Houston with his wife Shariah, and for their son Benaiah. Father, for our brother Tahawam here in San Antonio, West Beverly. Father, for the special needs children of Cece, who is the daughter of our brother Tazafa and his wife Arakaya. For the daughter of Dubar Kwawa, Aiza Lee. And for Aliyah, the daughter of our brother Bonabad and his wife Kwadishaya. Continue prayers, Father, going up for Tazafa and his family, including his mother, Miss Catherine. And for Miss Catherine's help, Miss Barbara and her husband, Mr. Charles. Father, continue prayers going up for our friend and our brother, Yanawathan. Father, prayers going up for our brother, Gabaya Allah, and his wife, Aisha, and for her mother, Ruthie Mae Johnson. Continue prayers, Father, to strengthen, to help, and to guide our brother, Sankardash, and his wife, Mariah, and their son, Kazakia. Continue prayers going up, Father, for our brother, Lavander, out there in California, his mother, Pat Washington, and his cousin, LaShonda Washington. Continue prayers, Father, for our sister, Kwadishaya, the wife of our brother, Bonabad. Continue prayers, Father, going up for our friends, Sean Stark, Sylvia Khan. Continue prayers going up, Father, for our brother, Yama, who happens to be locked up in the Lubbock County Jail. Continue prayers, Father, going up for our brother, Kazakabar, in the Arapaho County Jail. And Father, please add our brother, Aisha Waitazah, and his daughters and granddaughter and his children as they're going through things, Father. Please be with them. And Father, we have also sent up prayers for our sister, Anawa, the daughter of our brother, Gaya Alavar, here in San Antonio. And Father, as it says in Numbers chapter 6, and that they shall put your name upon the children of Israel, and you will bless them. So we ask these things, Father, and trying to follow the reputation and example of your son, Yahweh Shai, or the world calls Jesus Christ, that we offer these prayers not for our glory, not for our infamy, but for your glory and for your honor, Father, that these things might be done. That they, as they get healed, might remember and honor you, Father, that it was you that did that, that all healing comes from you, Father. So we thank you always. The Wadis from Yad, Amen. All right. Okay, brothers and sisters, we got that out. We got that completed, which is all to the good. Disappointing the show where I need to take a quick intermission. I don't even really need to take a bio break right now, but I need to take a quick intermission, and I use this intermission just to reset my mind so we can go ahead and get into the class, which is episode 20. But it says we're in episode 20 of Build Your House Upon the Rock. All right, Build Your House Upon the Rock. And episode 20 is going to be dealing with I Will Also Reject Thee. All right, that I will also reject thee. If you're not building your house proper, and we can look at the history of the Israelites and see where they weren't building their house proper. And just remember this, brothers and sisters. Hopefully you might be doing your own studies as well, hopefully. I would ask you, go back and study the Pharisees and the Sadducees. The Pharisees, and not from a Christian point of view. Don't look at them from a Christian point of view as if to say, even though they were perfect under the law, that's why the law is done away with. So now I'm able to live and just do the life I want to live, just do whatever I want to do, and it's all good. Not from that angle am I asking you to think about the Pharisees and Sadducees, as much as because even though they were perfect at the law, they still never gave their minds to God's judgment. Even though they were perfect in the law, you never read what Christ called them sinners. But he did call them hypocrites. He did call them vipers. All right? Because they when it came to the law, you couldn't find nothing wrong. That they were expert at making sure they kept the law. But as far as giving their mind to what God actually wanted, no. That was far removed from them. That they did the minimum. Okay, I'm keeping the law, but in really giving their minds to what God wanted, how God wanted things done, no, that they didn't do that. So let's keep that in mind as we're coming back and returning back to our identity and our nationality. That yeah, part of we keeping the law, like Paul said, do we make void the law through faith? God forbid, yeah, we establish a law. The law is important, right? The law, rules, order is important. But that's just the beginning, brothers and sisters. That's just the beginning. It's about really getting your mind to be of the same opinion, to share the same judgment as God, which means, and like Christ told us, as long as you're holding on to your old way of thinking, how you judge things, holding on to your opinion, you can't put new wine into an old bottle. You have to get rid of the old, your old opinion, your old way of doing things, as opposed to this mentality of, if you don't like me, how I'm doing things, to hell with you. I got to speak my truth. I got to be real about how I'm feeling. All right, cool. You can do that, and you can say those things, but if you're not repenting and changing your mind, you're becoming that new creature. That's supposed to be in Christ. But you're really on this thing of you're just going to do you. And if nobody likes you, to hell with them, you're going to do you. You're going to be you. All right? Go back and read the scriptures where and see how that worked in the scriptures. That might work in this society where Donald Trump can do those type of things and make millions of dollars. You might have that mentality here in this society, where in this society, that mentality works in a wicked society. But is that going to be accepted in God's kingdom? Is that way of thinking really going to be accepted in God's kingdom? Where, like people say, only God can judge me. You're right. You're 100% right. Only God can judge you. And how is God going to judge you? So with that, let's take this intermission. Let's take this intermission. And we're going to come back. We're going in. All right? As we try to get back to life. As we're trying to get back to what? Reality. God's reality. Here we go.
All right, all right, all right. You're gonna learn today. All right, all right, all right. You're going to learn today.
All right, I just did about 3 minutes without having my mic on, so now my mic is back on. All right, cool. All right, so getting back into it. Getting into it, brothers and sisters, just trying to get to the point. I just want to give a little bit of history right now, okay? Let's go into a little bit of biblical history. Let's go into a little bit of biblical history about the prophet Hosea, all right? Because the title of the class is Build Your House, we're supposed to be upon the rock. Episode 20, I will also reject thee. All right? That comes from the book of Hosea, chapter 4, and verse 6. But before we get there, I want to give a little bit of background about the history of the prophet Hosea. All right? About this book. All right? So, this, if you want to Google search, and y'all can look this up. I didn't have to go into the deep archives or go to the Vatican and be given special access to get some of the secret information. It's at your fingertips, all right? So the book of Hosea, all right? The book of Hosea, it starts to have been written between 755 and 725 B.C., right, before Christ. And these dates are going to be kind of important to us, that I'm trying not to get my thoughts jumbled. Understand that it's thought to believe that the book of Hosea was written between 755 and 725 BC. So approximately 750 years before Christ came on the scene, before Christ was born, is when the book of Hosea was written. All right? It was actually written, we're going to find out. It was actually written right before God brought the Assyrians and raised them up as a world power and took the northern kingdom of Israel captive. All right? And because it was in 721 BC that the northern kingdom of Israel finally fell and they were led away into captivity and pulled away from the promised land. And then from there, around 722 BC, is being exiled now and pulled out of the promised land and led to captivity all the way up into Europe, into parts of Asia, going up around the Black and Caspian Seas, that eventually it led they became the Goths, the Visigoths, the original Saxons, the original Anglos, and then they became also the Cimmeri. They became the Germans, they became the Cambries, they became the Iberians. That was all the Israelites being exiled out of the northern kingdom of Israel, and now being led away out of there. And that was the last time, as a whole, that the northern kingdom of Israel was in the land of Israel. Again, 7 centuries before Christ came on the earth is when this took place. And right before that historical event took place, which you can read about in 2 Kings chapter 17, before the historical thing event took place, this is when we get the book of Hosea, all right, and the teachings and the sentiments and the judgments and the opinion of God towards the northern kingdom of Israel, our people, at this particular time. All right. I hope that I'm able to paint enough of a picture that we can kind of grab it might resonate, and that this might start to hit on a whole nother vibe, start to really try and give some understanding about biblical history as it relates to our history and its significance to us as Israelites. Now, a Christian, that might not mean a damn thing to you as a Christian. And again, as somebody who's just caught up in their own thoughts and their own feelings and superstitions, this is going to be all foolish to you. But if things were in the foretime, we're waiting for our learning. And we're supposed to give attention to reading, that we might understand what the scenario is. We might understand the context of what was going on, and it's not being filtered through modern-day Christianity, that the scripture is not being filtered through the opinion of people who never knew the Bible or don't understand what the Bible was written, but figure they're trying to find a path back to God. Let's get the context of what was written, and then we can understand why it was written to help give us some understanding about what direction, what things we should be doing. All right? So, again, some history. The book of Hosea is thought to have been written between 755 and 725 BC. It's one of the oldest books in Tanakh, dating back to around 760 to 720 BC. The book's author is the prophet Hosea, who prophesied from 785 to 725 BC. So Hosea had one of the longest, he was one of the oldest prophets and longest reigning prophets that we had. And the Most High was using him to really try and give Israel, along with like Isaiah, Jeremiah, Daniel, really trying to give Israel a chance, trying to give us as a people a chance before he brought the destruction. I ain't going to say destruction, before he brought the consequence. All right? That our mentality was that outrageous. Our opinions and fighting against God was really that outrageous. And God, and when it says God is long-suffering and full of mercy, people really don't know how to put that in context. People only think about God being long-suffering and merciful because you only think about your life here today. You're not putting it in context of how much love and how much mercy God had for the nation of Israel and how much he put up with our attitudes and put up with our stubbornness and put up with our rebellion before he had to finally bring us to the point where we got kicked out the promised land. And again, the key of the promised land, the land that was promised to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, they finally got to the point where we were finally kicked out of the promised land. Come on, brothers and sisters. I mean, come on. What was going on? Why does a person get kicked out the house? Why does a person get kicked out the house? Why do people get evicted? How does this happen? What kind of behavior has been shown or done or is happening that it gets to the point where a person finally has to be kicked out? Well, think about that. Since you're an individual, think about that. But now put that into the realm and look at it through God's eyes about now this was the nation of Israel being kicked out of the promised land. Just kind of please meditate on that for a minute. Being in the promised land where we had all organic food in the promised land. Being in the promised land, there was no fast food or processed food in the promised land. In the promised land, where there were no public schools. There were no private schools. There were no charter schools. There was no standardized testing. There was no grade school, middle school, high school. There was no, you can get your GED. There was none of that. There was none of those things. We weren't subject to those things while we were in the promised land. We weren't wearing mixed garments in the promised land. So what was going on that we got kicked out of the promised land? What was happening? It wasn't because of the evil cruelties of the so-called white man. It wasn't because of the evil cruelty and the racism exemplified by the so-called white man, or by Chin Lee, or by Koreans, or by Japanese, or Chinese, or East Indians, what was going on in the promised land that we got kicked out of the promised land? What were we doing? We can't blame that on the nations, what we were doing in the promised land, what our mentality was in the promised land. But we had our own livestock. We had our own land, generational land, that was passed down from generation to generation to generation. We had generational wealth. So what was going on that we had? I had all these things going on in the promised land, but we still got kicked out. What was happening? And that's what I'm going to challenge everybody. Not even really challenge. That's what I want to present to everybody's mentality right now. That come on, 7 centuries before Christ came is when the northern kingdom of Israel was kicked out. And we're talking about the northern kingdom. But do you understand who that is? Do we understand who that is? Yeah, Judah, Benjamin, Levi, they pretty much stayed the southern kingdom, the kingdom of Judah. We're talking about, I need to pull up a 12 tribe sign. Let me go here. And I should have it off the top of my head right now. I just don't have it off the top of my head. I should have had this. So we're talking about the last time that these people saw the homeland being, we're talking about the people of Simeon, the so-called Dominican Republic. The last time you saw your homeland before the Dominican Republic became your spot was 7 centuries before Christ. We're talking about the natives from Guatemala to Panama. The last time you were back in the Middle East, the last time you were back in our home was 7 centuries before Christ. We're talking about the Tainos, the people of Puerto Rico. The last time you were back in the promised land, long before Columbus got here, you learned Spanish. The last time you were in the promised land was 7 centuries, the Puerto Ricans, Tainos, Boricua. 7 centuries before Christ got here. The people of Manessa, Cuba, Cubans. The last time you were home, not Cuba, the last time you were home was 7 centuries before Christ got there, before Christ came on the scene. It's all about Gad, the so-called Native American Indians. The Apaches, Navajos, the Hopi, the Iroquois, the Chickasaw, the Choctaw, the Apache. Last time you were home in Israel was 7 centuries before Christ got here. Same with Reuben, the Seminole Indians. The people of Naphtali, the people who inhabit in the New World, the people of Argentina and Chile. The last time you were back home in the promised land was 7 centuries before Christ got here. Talk about Reuben, if I miss Reuben. So before Georgia, North Carolina, South Carolina became your homeland, before Florida became your homeland, that's where I'm from. Last time, before you got there, And the last time you was home was 7 centuries before Christ got here. The people of Africa, from Colombia to Uruguay, including Brazil and all the countries in between. The last time you were home, not in South America, but in the homeland of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, was 7 centuries before Christ came on the scene, before he was born. And the people of Issachar, so-called Mexicans, the who was that? We're talking about the Mayans, the Aztecs, the Incas. Long before you built any of them pyramids, any of those sundials, long before there was a building a wall and you became an expert migrant farmers, the last time you were home was 7 centuries before Christ got here. What is going on that we have been kicked out of the homeland for that amount of time? How pissed off was God at us that 7 centuries before Christ got here, we were already kicked out of the house, kicked out of the land? What mentality did we have? And we can't say it's because of the so-called white man. We can't say it's because we didn't get a college degree. We can't say it's because we didn't get GEDs. Before there was a Walmart, an Albertsons, a Safeway, food stamps, Piggly Wiggly. Before you had to go to a farmer's market to try and make sure you got some fresh produce or organics. While we were in the promised land, the land of milk and honey, where the vegetation was so great that again, milk and honey, how much vegetation would animals have to eat that the animals would produce enough milk that the land flowed with milk? How much pollen-bearing plants were there that bees would have enough pollen from all the different sources, and how many bees would there have to be for the metaphor to be a land flowing with honey? How much vegetation do we have? Organic vegetation, non-GMO vegetation. That 7 centuries before Christ got here, we got ourselves kicked out the promised land. So, the book of Hosea is thought to have been written between 755 and 725 BC. It's one of the oldest books in the Tanakh, dating back to around 760 to 720 BC. The book's author is the prophet Hosea, who prophesied from 785 to 725 BC. The Assyrians captured the northern kingdom of Israel in 721 BC. The Assyrians captured the northern kingdom of Israel in 721 BC and took the 10 tribes into captivity. The Assyrian army first captured Samaria, the capital of the northern kingdom of Israel, in 720 BC. Sargon II took the city in 722 BC. After a 3-year siege by Shalmaneser V. So let's think about this, brothers and sisters. Let's think about this for a minute. What was going on that your foreparents, our foreparents, my foreparents, what was going on that this took place that we have not been allowed back home to Israel for 7 centuries before Christ got here? Let's add another 2,000 years, since we're in the year 2024 right now. Let's add another 2,000 years to that 700 years. The last time you were allowed, that you was able to be at home with God in the promised land, was over 2,700 years ago as a people. Not as a tourist. Not because you went and saved a little bit of money, so you got yourself an airplane ticket. You took a cruise, so you went over there and took a vacation. I'm talking about all of our people,
kingdom,
10 tribes. If we're looking at this, over 2,700 years ago, what was going on? What was happening that God got that mad at us? That we were kicked out of the land, his land, his property, the place, his favorite spot on earth, we were kicked out. Let alone come back 70 AD when the Romans finally kicked out the other three tribes. Almost 800 years later, in 70 AD, and going on 2,000 years, close to 2,000 years since the Southern Kingdom has been home? What mentalities do we carry that we get God this pissed off? Let's go to the book of Hosea chapter 1. All right, let's go to the book of Hosea chapter 1. Let's start at verse 1. All right, the book of Hosea, chapter 1. We're going to read the whole chapter. I'm just going to read the whole chapter. Hosea, chapter 1, verse 1. And the word of the Lord that came unto Hosea, the son of Beri, in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel. All right? I can't say no better than that. All right, verse 2. The beginning of the word of the Lord by Hosea. And the Lord said to Hosea, take unto thee a wife of whoredoms and children of whoredoms. So understand what God is telling Hosea. Go get you a hoe. Go get you a woman who's been sleeping around and have kids with this person. Get you a wife who's a whore, who slept with other men, and have kids with them, have kids with her. But why? For the land has committed great whoredom, departing from the Lord. And I said, I want you to feel what I'm feeling. Go marry a woman who's had other men, and you have kids with her. Now, this is what Israel's been doing to me. Check it out, verse 3. So he went and took Gomer, the daughter of Dibleam, which conceived and bare him a son. So he went and got a wife. He did what the Lord said. He went and got this woman, the daughter of some man, and got her pregnant, and she had a son. And the Lord said unto him, call his name Jezreel. A little while, and I will avenge the blood of Jezreel upon the house of Jehu. And I will cause to cease the kingdom of those of the house of Israel. That all the blood that's been shed of the prophets by Jehu of the northern kingdom, it's going to be revenged. And the kingdom of Israel is going to cease. All that they done built up, they thought that they had going on, and I had nothing to do with it, and they did it in spite of me, is what God is saying. Go ahead. God is saying, I'm going to get revenge for it. Check it out, y'all. Verse 5. And it shall come to pass at that day that I will break the bow of Israel in the valley of Jezreel. A bow represents somebody's strength. So, guys, I'm going to break their strength. The thing that they think they're strong with, they think they're strong because they got a little bit, they got some wealth. They got some gold. They got some this. They got some that, whatever. And they're able to get all this agriculture, whatever. And they don't have to serve me or honor me. And they're doing good. I'm going to break their strength. I'm going to break them. This is what God is saying. Because, you know, you can't, when somebody thinks they're doing good, especially without God, you can't tell a nigga nothing. That, again, that natural man is like, how is it that God did not give me this? God did give me everything I ever wanted. But this is what's been pissing God off. Check it out. Verse 6. As she conceived again. And bear a daughter. And God said unto him, call her name Loruhamah, for I will no more have mercy upon the house of Israel, and I will utterly take them away. Lahuma means no more mercy. That's what that name actually means. So you name your daughter you have with this whore who's been with other men. Name her Lahuma. No more mercy. Because I'm going to take away my mercy from the house of Israel because they don't listen. And their pride, or whatever they built themselves up with, is they're telling themselves, I don't have to listen. Look at what I've got. Look at what I'm doing. And this is why God told Hosea, go marry a whore, and you have kids with her. Check it out, verse 7. But I will have mercy upon the house of Judah, and will save them by the Lord their God. I will not save them by bow, nor by sword, nor by battle, by horses, nor by horsemen. So what is God saying? I'm going to have mercy on Judah, the southern kingdom at this time. I'm going to have mercy on them, but I'm not going to save them by the conventional ways of conventional warfare, the way people would think at that time that this is how you save me, that I need to have an army. I got to have guns. I got to have weapons. I got to be prepped. God said, I'm going to have mercy on Judah, but I'm going to save them. But I'm not going to save them by the bow, nor by sword, nor by battle, nor by horses, nor by horsemen. Judah hopefully will see the example of what's happening with Israel, and they'll get their act together. And we didn't. Verse 8. Now, when she had weaned Lahuma, she conceived and bare a son. So now Hosea is having three kids with this whore. Three children with this whore. Right? Verse 9. Then said God, call his name Lo-Ami, for ye are not my people, and I will not be your God. La-A-Ami. La-A-Amia. You're not my people. These are some cold-ass names, y'all. But this is it's showing the sentiment of how God feels about the nation of Israel at this time. Yeah, you'll have kids. But name one of them, one Jezreel, because I'm going to get revenge for what y'all been doing. Name the daughter, Lahuma, because I'm done having mercy on y'all. You got this whore pregnant again? All right, cool. Call that baby's name, that son's name, La'ami, Lo-Ami. Because you're not my people, and I will not be your God. Check it out, verse 10. Before I move on, so I hope from this we're getting an understanding of how God sees the relationship with the nation of Israel, the northern kingdom of Israel, at this particular time. That he had a prophet marry a whore and have kids with her. So that would be a symbolic of how the nation of Israel, the northern kingdom of Israel, how God saw the northern kingdom of Israel. That they got kicked out the promised land 7 centuries before Christ got here. You're not my people. I ain't going to have no more mercy on you. I'm done. You've used up my mercy. And Hosea had three children with this whore. And God said, do it. Go have children with this whore. Verse 10. Yet the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured nor numbered. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there shall be said unto them, ye are the sons of the living God. That, first off, because we're no longer his people, he's not going to have any mercy. That's why the Assyrians came in and took the northern kingdom of Israel up out. And hopefully we're going to get to the point where, like God says in Hosea chapter 5, verse 15, it's going to get to the point where Israel, we would acknowledge that we've been doing wrong against God. We would finally acknowledge what we've been doing. Brothers and sisters, don't you think 2,700 years, 2,700 years, it's time for us to say that we've been doing wrong? maybe it's time for us to admit we've been wrong. And not do like Adam did in the garden, and then Eve, and then trying to deflect. But take accountability for what we've been doing, for our mentality. Take accountability for our choices. It's been over 2,700 years. 700 years before Christ got here. 2,000 years is we're in the year 2024 right now. That's 2,700 years. Do you think maybe it's about time that we should have learned our lesson and we just come back now and admit that we've been wrong and start trying to deflect? Now we can look back through history and see it really has been us. It's us. It's not God. We're the ones we're the ones with the problem. Not that we have to be saying, I have a problem with you, God. So, God, you got to change yourself because I have a problem with you. No, let's admit that we have a problem, that our thinking, that we have taken advantage of God's mercy. We have not been acting like his people. We've not been acting like he's our God. We've been a bunch of whores. Is it possibly maybe get to that point we need to admit these things? Because the time's going to come that in the place that we're going to be kicked out of the promised land. That's regardless. That had to happen. But it's going to come a time where getting kicked out of the promised land and then us not being called God's people, that's where we have the names Hopi, Negro, Inca, Aztec, Mexican, Puerto Rican, Haitian, Dominican, Baptist, Methodist, Episcopalian, whatever Sam Mason house you might have joined. We're Muslims, we're Sunnis, we're Jehovah's Witness, we're everything under the sun but the Israelites. And not even the Israelites. Now, no, we're the Negro-only Israelites. No, we're this Israelites. No, we're that Israelites. Come on, y'all. Come on, y'all. Damn. Here's the time now we do what Christ said, as the scripture is saying, that the preaching go out. That become the focus so we could get the 144,000 woke up so that the nation, the earth, everybody can now be healed and we can finally go back home. Finally, we can go home. Home. It's going to happen. There's 144,000 men that are going to get this, that are going to follow the Lamb wherever he goes. Hosea chapter 1, verse 11. Then shall the children of Judah and the children of Israel be gathered together. So we're going to have to be kicked off the land. This is the promised land. We're going to be kicked out. Judah and Israel got to be kicked out of the promised land. For Israel, that was accomplished 7 centuries before Christ got here. For Judah, Benjamin, Levi, the so-called Negroes, West Indians, so-called Haitians, we were kicked out of the promised land in 70 A.D., about 40 years after Christ's resurrection, we were kicked out the promised land. Close to, you know, give or take a few years. And that's been over 2,000 years ago. We ain't been home since as a nation. We have not been home since. And we're not going home until Judah and Israel get their act together. That 144,000 men get it together. That 144,000 men get sealed. Then with one-third of Israel, we all going to make it. We're going to get to the wilderness, we're going to make it. And there'll be a repopulation going on. But we're going to be repopulated the right way. We're going to make and learn the right way. But Hosea chapter 1, verse 11. Then shall the children of Judah and the children of Israel be gathered together and appoint themselves one head. That head is going to be Jesus Christ, who the world calls Jesus Christ, Yahweh Shai. Not one camp, one head. That head is Christ, for Christ is the head of every man. One head. And they shall come up out of the land. Middle from Jeremiah, the land of the north, North America. For great shall be the day of Jezreel. That we're coming back. But there's some things we got to do first, y'all. Can we acknowledge or start to look at how wrong our thinking has been? Can we start? From there, let's go to Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. Let's go to the book of Hosea now, chapter 4, verse 6. The book of Hosea, chapter 4, verse 6. And Hosea, chapter 4, verse 6 reads, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee. That thou shalt be no priest to me. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. Come on, brothers and sisters, we got to think about this. And getting kicked out of the promised land. 7 centuries before Christ got here. We're destroyed for lack of knowledge. We don't have God's knowledge. We have the knowledge of the world. Even in the promised land, we had knowledge of the world. But to know how God does things, understand God's judgments, God's opinion, we rejected it. We refused to accept and mold our minds to how God sees things. This is what our forefathers were doing while they were back home. With every opportunity there was, we still resisted and rejected and rebelled against having our minds think like God's mind, refusing Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Let us make man in our image after our likeness. To be like us, to be like God and the angels, to think like God and the angels, to have their opinion, to have God's opinion. We have refused to have God's opinion. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Whose knowledge? Hosea 4 and 1, because we got knowledge. I don't know how many tests we passed, how many degrees we got, how much street knowledge we have. We got knowledge. But what knowledge is he talking about when he says we're destroyed for a lack of knowledge? Hosea chapter 4, verse 1. Hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel. For the Lord has a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. Do y'all, can we understand or comprehend how much of a slap in the face and how disrespectful that is? While we were in the promised land, brothers and sisters, while we were in the promised land, we had no knowledge of God. How? Think about this, brothers and sisters. While in the promised land, we knew what tribe we were. While in the promised land, we spoke Hebrew. We sang Hebrew. Well, in the promised land, we had our, if you will, culture of dress. We had our high holy days. We had our organic, non-GMO food. While in the promised land. But what is God saying? Remember, all this is being said right before God brought the Assyrians to kick us out of the land. 7 centuries before Christ got here. So while we were in the promised land, this was said to us by the prophet Hosea, who was told, go marry a whore and have kids with her, because that's how Israel's been with me. Hosea 4 and 1. Hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel. For the Lord has a controversy with the inhabitants of the land. Because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. We didn't know God. While in the promised land, we still didn't know God, even though we knew our tribes, even though we spoke Hebrew, even though we were eating non-organic, full organic, non-GMO foods. We weren't eating no processed foods. We were keeping, we had the high holy days in the promised land, and we still didn't know God. Brothers and sisters, do I have time to do this? I don't have time to do this. I wish I did. Why do we sing that song? Why is that song sung? If you don't know me by now, you will never, ever, ever know me. I know a lot of women, love, they can sing that song because that's their chant about how they're just so misunderstood and how nobody understands them and gets to know them. And I know those lyrics ring out and resonate. But as much as those lyrics ring out and resonate, how is it we can't understand that's how God felt? How is it we don't understand that Christ did the same thing to Nathaniel? Christ, show us the Father. Philip. Have I been so long time with you and you still don't know me? We got into the promised land about 1,500 years before Christ. From 1,500 B.C. to here now, 700 B.C., that's 800 years, that's 8 centuries. And in 8 centuries, it's still being said by God about the northern kingdom of Israel. The so-called Dominicans, the so-called people from Central America, Guatemala to Panama, the so-called Puerto Ricans, the so-called Cubans, the so-called Native Americans, the so-called Reuben, Cherokee, Indian, all the people from Georgia to North Carolina to Oklahoma. Naphtali, from the people of Argentina, Chile, the people from Colombia to Uruguay, including Brazil, Paraguay, and all those countries, and all the Mexicans. For 8 centuries, God is saying, you've been in the promised land and you still don't know me. Before you learn some damn Spanish, before you learn bars, before you learn English, in the promised land, we still did not know. God is saying, you don't know me. Didn't T.I. have that song? Something says something, and you don't know me. And you don't know me. It's not like we can't understand the concept of you don't know me. But when it comes to thinking about we don't know God, no. We won't acknowledge that at all. We're still blaming that nobody knows us, how I feel, what I've been through, how I look at things, how I've been affected. We don't look for 8 centuries. From 1500 B.C. to about 700 B.C., we were in the promised land, and in 8 centuries, God is still saying, you don't know me. To where he told the prophet Hosea, go marry a whore and have kids with her, because this is how I've been with the nation of Israel. I married y'all and got kids with y'all, and y'all don't know me. This is how God sees it. This is how God feels. And we're still justifying. We're still justifying. So going now, continue back with Hosea 4 and 6. Let's read it again. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because thou hast rejected knowledge. Whose knowledge do we keep rejecting? How God, knowing God. I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God. I will also forget thy children. And how many people grow up and we, our childhoods were so miserable. Why? Is it maybe because we're no longer in the promised land? Well, God was protecting us. what God was looking out for our children. Brothers and sisters, why did we have to walk the wilderness for 40 years? The Israelites coming out of Egypt had to walk the wilderness for 40 years because their complaint to Moses and God was, you brought us and our children out here to die. It was better for us to stay in Egypt than to come out here and serve your God, Moses. But you brought us and our children out here to die. So what did God say? Oh, so you're worried about your children dying? No problem. Y'all walk this wilderness till you drop dead, and I'll make sure your children walk into the promised land. Your children will get to the promised land. You won't, but your children will. God protected the children. It ain't about trick load of kids. God protected the children. That's why we had to walk the wilderness for 40 years until everybody in that generation, their asses dropped dead. But our complaint was, our justification was, we need to go back to Egypt. We take care of our families. We take care of our kids. We come out here, our kids are going to die out here. That's what y'all are thinking? You're going to die out here in the wilderness and your kids are going to be not going to be taken care of? Well, let me kind of fulfill your wish. You're going to die out here. But I got your kid. I'll protect the kids. How do you go from that, being protecting the kids will be protected coming into the promised land? How do you go from that to, I will also forget your children now? Alligator bait? The raping of our daughters, the raping of our young boys, using our infants to hunt alligators? All the medical experiments that were conducted on our children, on us? Why did that happen? Even in the promised land, we forgot God. We weren't trying to learn God. We weren't trying to have God's knowledge. Even in the promised land, let alone now we're here in the Americas. Let alone now we're here in the Americas. And are we going to really be, what's that, wash, rinse, repeat? We're going to be stuck in that cycle? We're going to keep repeating the same shit? We're still going to be at a point where we refuse to know, because maybe I keep the Sabbath over here, over there, every once in a while. Now I wear a fringe or two. That now I know God. If you don't know me by now, you'll never know me. That's why God, that's why two-thirds of Israel has to die. Has to. They need to be reset. So, when we look at Webster's 1828 dictionary for the word knowledge, right? So he says that's what we're destroyed for. Let's look at the word knowledge. Webster's 1828 dictionary, knowledge. One, a clear and certain perception of that which exists. So my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. There's no knowledge of God. So there's no clear and certain perception of how God exists or of the truth and fact. So it says knowledge, a clear and certain perception of that which exists or of truth and fact. The fact is, we don't know God. What did he say? He has a controversy, Hosea 4:1. I have a controversy with you. There's no mercy, nor truth, nor knowledge of God in the land. The true facts about God, the truth about God, even in the promised land, we didn't have it. We didn't choose to hold on to it. We didn't choose to amend our ways. We didn't choose to circumcise our minds, circumcise our hearts to accept and receive God's perception of things. We stayed hard-headed in our own perceptions. Knowledge from Webster's 1828 dictionary, a clear and certain perception of that which exists
or a truth and fact. The perception of the connection and agreement or disagreement and repugnancy of our ideas. The example that Webster gives is, we have no knowledge of that which does not exist. God has a perfect knowledge of all his works. Human knowledge is very limited and is mostly gained by observation and experience. Difference number two, learning or illumination of the mind. That's what knowledge is, learning. So when it says, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge, we're destroyed for the lack of learning God's truth, God's fact, and God's perception of things. Hosea 4 and 6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. What is knowledge? A clear and certain perception of that which exists or of truth and of facts. What is knowledge? Learning. My people are destroyed for the lack of learning. God's perception, God's way of doing things, God's judgment. Reading on with verse 6, Hosea 4 and 6. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, or rejected what? God's truth, God's perceptions, God's facts. We refuse to learn how God does things, not just the law. Why does God do it this way? Why is God's mind this way? We refuse to get that part. It says, thou hast rejected knowledge. I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. The word reject, to throw away, or anything useless or vile. So, Hosea 4 and 6 says what? My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee. So what did we do first? We threw away God's knowledge. Again, definition number one, to throw away as anything useless or vile. So we consider God's knowledge to be useless for the things that we want, for the things that we desire. God's knowledge was useless to us. So we threw God's knowledge away while in the promised land. If we did that while we were in the promised land, how much more are we doing it here in America? Come on, y'all. That God's knowledge is vile, the way God does things, God's facts, God's truth, God's perception is useless and it's vile. We're going to throw his way of doing things, we're going to throw it away? That's what we did in the promised land. How much more are we doing that today here now? Definition number two, reject, to cast off. So, Hosea 4 and 6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, or what? Thou hast cast off knowledge. Whose knowledge? God's knowledge. I will also reject thee. I'll cast you off also. Division number three, reject. To forsake. Number four, to refuse to receive. To slight. To despise. We refuse to receive. We slight. We despise. We forsake. We cast off. We threw away as something useless or vile God's knowledge towards what we want. We even did that in the promised land. How much more are we doing that now today? Dividend number five. To refuse to grant as to reject a prayer or request. To refuse to accept as to reject an offer. So we have these definitions for knowledge and for reject. Now, we got Hosea 4 and 6 in the King James. We got Hosea 4 and 6 in the King James. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee. That thou shalt be no priest to me. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. When we look at this same scripture in the Bible in Basic English, check out what it says. Hosea 4 and 6 for the Bible in Basic English. Destruction has overtaken my people because they have no knowledge. Because you have given up knowledge, I will give you up so that you will be no priest to me. Because you have not kept in mind the law of your God, I will not keep your children in my memory. Come on, y'all. This happened in the promised land. So what's to happen to us, to our people, since being kicked out of the promised land? What kind of hard lives have we had to live because of what was going on in the promised land? And we're going to come back now and repeat the same mind process? Look at the Brenton Bible, the Brenton Bible. Hosea 4 and 6, it says, my people are like as if they had no knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt not minister as priest to me. And if thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will forget thy children. Come on. Are y'all catching the declaration that God is saying here? My people are like as if they had no knowledge. For 8 centuries, they've been in the promised land. We've been in God's house. And y'all act like, y'all don't know me. You don't know that I don't like that shit. For 8 centuries, approximately 1,500 years, and us coming out of Egypt. About 1,500 years coming out of Egypt, and now here it is, 700 BC, 800 years later, and we still act like we don't know God. We don't know that God, that if we do this thing right here, that's going to make God mad. We really don't understand God's opinion or judgment about things. Are we going to say, well, at least I killed the sheep? At least I killed the bullock? God, why are you tripping? Didn't I at least? See, God, that's why nobody wants to be around you, God. See, God, you're so temperamental. See, God, you're so moody. One day, God, you're like this. Another day, God, you're like that. Who wants to be around a God like you? This was the mentality that our whore's minds took towards God. Remember, that's why God told Hosea to do what? Go marry a whore and have children with this whore. And hear this. The twisted mindset that comes out of her mouth. This is what the nation of Israel been saying to God. The Comparable English Bible, the CEV, which is the CEV. The contemporary English version. For Hosea 4 and 6. You priests have rejected me, and my people are destroyed by refusing to obey. Now I'll reject you and forget your children, because you have forgotten my law. That's contemporary English version. You priests have rejected me, and my people are destroyed by refusing to obey. Why are our people destroyed? Because we refuse to obey. This is why we were in the promised land. Now I'll reject you and forget your children because you have forgotten my law. Let's go to the ERRB, the Exegesis Ready Research Bible. Yeah, I know I like that just because it sounds scholarly, right? The ERRB, the Exegesis Ready Research Bible. And brother said, I'm getting all these Bibles off of the East Ward. I haven't given them a plug. I don't get the money from them. But I haven't given them a plug in a while. I've gotten all these Bibles on East Ward for free, right? The ERRB, the Exegesis Ready Research Bible. My people are destroyed severed for lack of knowledge. Why have we been cut off from God? For a lack of knowledge. In 800 years, we refuse to get with God's way, God's mind. Just doing the surface shit. Not learning and really adopting his way of doing things. That's the 90-second mark. I'm going to go a little bit further. We're going just over the two-hour mark, y'all. We're going just past the two-hour mark. So it says, from the Exegesis Ready Research Bible, from Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, my people are destroyed or severed for a lack of knowledge. Because thou hast despised knowledge, I shall also reject or spurn thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of the law or the Torah of thy God, Elohim, I will or I shall also forget thy children and thy sons. Come on, y'all. Come on, y'all. And let me stop saying y'all even. Let me stop saying y'all. My people are destroyed or severed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast despised or spurned. I do want to get that word. I'm going over the two-hour mark just a little bit, y'all. Just a little bit. I'm going to get this definition of spurned. I didn't look it up earlier, but I want to get it now. Spurned. Hosea 4 and 6. Compare. From the CEV, right? From the CEV. No, the ERRB, the Exegesis Ready Research Bible. And we're looking at spurned. Dictionary. Spurned. Rejected with disdain. Treated with contempt. I like that. Let's see if I can just go to the, let me go to Google, see what Google has. According to Webster's Dictionary, 1828, spurn means to reject with disdain or to scorn or to receive or accept. It is also means to kick or drive back or away as with the foot. Oh, my goodness. So it's like we kicked or drove back God's knowledge with our feet. Like we was like kicking God in the ass, like, get the hell away from me. This is how God has been looking at our people. Before we got kicked out the promised land, this is what he's saying we were doing, to where he told Hosea, go marry a whore. Have kids with, and listen to the shit coming out of her mouth. And you're going to hear, this is how Israel's been talking to me the whole time. This is how Israel has been, we have been talking to God, that we're his wife. This is how the nation of Israel has been talking to God the whole time. It's like we've been kicking at God to get the hell away from us. We refuse to learn his way of doing things, why he does what he does. And then we go and we'll sleep with other men, other gods, other philosophies, and we'll accept all that shit. When it comes to our husband, this is how God is looking at the nation of Israel. And this is why we were in the promised land. How much worse now? Let me finish this up. All right, so that was the Exegesis Ready Research Bible. I'm reading again. My people are destroyed, for Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. My people are destroyed or severed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast despised, spurned knowledge, I will or shall also reject or spurn thee. That thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, Elohim, I will or shall also forget thy children's sons. From the Good News Bible, the GNB, the Good News Bible. My people are doomed because they do not acknowledge me. Come on. This was, God is telling Hosea all this before he brought the, right before he brought the Assyrians to come and get us. My people are doomed because they do not acknowledge me. 800 years in the promised land. And God is saying, you're doomed. You don't get it. You don't get me. You don't acknowledge me. You priests have refused to acknowledge me and have rejected my teaching. And so I reject you and will not acknowledge your sons as my priests. That's the Good News Bible. The Jubilee Bible. The Jubilee Bible for Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. My people are cut off because they lacked wisdom. Ooh. Ooh. My people were cut off because they lacked wisdom. And we read Hosea, we read 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21. We read 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 21. Read again. Let me pull it back up. And it says, for after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. So here it says what? The Jubilee Bible for Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. My people were cut off because they lacked wisdom. Whose wisdom? God's wisdom. Whose knowledge? God's. Because thou hast rejected wisdom. Whose wisdom? God's wisdom. I will cast thee out of the priesthood. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy sons. So, brothers and sisters, again, how are we building our foundation, our house? We have physical houses and we have spiritual houses. How are we building our house? What is the foundation on? What is our foundation? That's the question. That is the question. All right. So with that, brothers and sisters, I'm going to end this class today. 2 hours have expired. I'm going to end this class today with that. Remember, we do have classes tonight. We've got starting at 7 p.m. We have SOW Houston, Texas, the Stream of Wisdom. Their class starts tonight at 7 p.m. on YouTube. Subscribe, like, and share. And also we have the Sword of Truth YouTube channel going on tonight, starting at 7:30. All right, starting at 7:30. Subscribe, like, and share to them as well. Please tune in with us tomorrow. Tomorrow being Thursday. Let me get this here. Tomorrow being Thursday, April 18th. All right, tomorrow being Thursday, April 18th, where we should be hearing from the Brother Tel Zapah as he continues on his series, FYI. All right, for your information. And apologies about his class for yesterday. It was scheduled, but the Blog Talk servers had crashed again. So he wasn't able to bring out his class yesterday. So we'll see how he's going to do tomorrow. All right, we'll see how things work tomorrow. But so far, as we see that the class did come up today, we did have a show today. Cool. So with that, brothers and sisters, thank everybody for tuning in. And with that, let me kill some of these tabs. With that, we're going to say, Shalom.
Shema Yisrael, Yehovah, Allah Yehovah, Yehovah. You have.